B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, October 31st, Halloween 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to preview the BlizzCon World Cup. There's actually a lot of action that's already gone down, but we're going to tell you what you can expect over the weekend. Plus, the PlayStation 4 has become officially the second best-selling console ever.
Ever!
Those discussions ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily, but we start today with Halloween. All of us are in costume here today on the show, but I thought we would talk about what our plans are. What are you guys doing for Halloween?
Not a thing.
Start with Star-Lord over there.
That was my attempt to scare you because I don't really have any other scary drops over here.
So it didn't work.
I'm just mad at you.
But I actually have a pretty crazy weekend coming up because we have a lot of plans, but we're not sure what we're going to do just yet. We're going to kind of play it by ear. But some of the highlights is Yomacon this weekend.
That's right.
In Detroit.
Yep. Yeah.
Yomacon is actually one of the biggest anime conventions in the country, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It?
Mm-hmm. It's up there. I mean, Dragon Con's probably bigger, as far as anime conventions go, I would say ASEAN is another big one, for sure.
It's definitely one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the region.
Oh, for sure.
So, what's the big one in Chicago?
ASEAN.
Is it ASEAN in Chicago?
Calamari Con is in another. Or wait, no, that's at. What's the one that's at the water park resort?
Oh, Colossal Con.
That's not a big one. That's just a popular one.
Yeah, that's Party Con.
Yeah.
You're talking about the one at Calamari?
Yeah, that's a party.
That's my favorite con of the year,
bar none. But try and get tickets to that one. It's impossible.
They still dress up as anime characters.
They do.
But yeah, so we'll be doing that probably Saturday. I still have D&D that's also supposed to happen on Saturday, which may be canceled for the third week in a row.
That campaign's over.
Well, right? I mean, we kind of play it by ear. They're also paying me $5 a session. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. I feel you.
Even when you have to cancel sessions, are they paying?
If we don't play, they don't pay. I'm not that much of a dick.
Oh, you're not that much of a capitalist either. Yeah. Like, listen, I'll put this campaign together.
I did game prep. That's what you're paying me for.
And actually, that's kind of the nice part about this is I'm actually using a source book for it, so I don't actually prep beyond just reading the chapter before.
So they paid for the source book.
They paid for the
pretty much.
Book.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. Yeah, and then I use that to open up more source books on D&D Beyond, which they all have access to as well. So it's not like they're not getting anything out of it.
Fair enough.
Other than that, also looking to finish up the Outer Worlds this weekend.
Well, enjoy that. Obviously, you wouldn't know. Your first year, you don't know if you have trick or treaters yet in your area. Would you imagine you do?
Oh, jeez.
Do you have candy?
I hope not.
Do you have candy?
We have our candy.
Well, no, you give the candy to the kids.
No, no, no. Are you guys in an apartment?
We are.
Then no, probably not.
Oh,
no.
No?
Really?
Yes.
I would tell you what, I used to be in Florida every year around Halloween, and we'd go over
to my
cousin's
place. That's old people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Apartment buildings there were great.
Yeah, no, there's a preconceived notion, because there's old people. But yeah, like, I don't ever get trick-or-treaters in my building. I've been there for three years now.
Now, it is a little bit different, because for your building, you have to go into the building and into hallways to get to places, right?
Right.
Whereas you can go door-to-door and still be outside where I'm at.
Right. Outdoor entry.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's different.
But on that note,
you might get, maybe, I
would guess maybe not, because normally the universal sign of, hey, we take trick-or-treaters is leaving your porch light on, right?
That's right.
Right.
No porch lights, though.
Oh.
Maybe if you leave, like, have Halloween decorations on the door
maybe,
or something.
I mean,
put a flashlight in the window.
Yeah. There are some kids
It's Halloween. It ain't the Underground Railroad. A lantern in the window or something.
Oh, man. But yeah, that. Other than that, don't plan on really leaving the house or doing a whole lot.
No.
Right.
Yeah. No, for me, I plan on doing not a damn thing. I think I'm probably going to go to YumaCon probably Friday because we have a friend of ours.
Yes, good friend of the show. Mark Cooper is going to be performing on Friday. So, yeah, we're going to... I mean, I plan on being there for that. Yeah,
yeah, so I'll probably go for that. So, outside of that, no, a bunch of nothing. No kids, really. And if some kids knock on my door, I'm cutting all the lights off and not moving, being real still. Because I just... Halloween is already not my favorite holiday. I don't really get... Some people get real hype over it. I'm just kind of like, eh, you know, maybe.
No movies or nothing for tonight?
I don't like scary movies. I don't like scary things. I don't like to pay money to be scared because life is scary.
But yet he likes Resident Evil and Silent Hill and.
No, yeah. I like those because those are well made, well crafted games.
They're horror games, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do scare you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it, though.
But he doesn't appreciate. That's not what he appreciates about them.
Right.
If they weren't scary games,
I'd probably still play them.
No, because then you'd have Resident Evil 6, and it's bad.
Mm, that's just a bad game.
That's a
not
bad game,
it's not scary.
Joe. I mean, if Resident Evil got reskinned into, like, I don't know, like some like a Metal Gear game,
yeah,
I'd still play it. I still think it was wonderful.
Yeah, turn all the zombies into just, like, robots. There's nothing scary about them. They're just robots now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd still play it.
It's fair. Nate, nothing?
I'm not doing a whole lot. I might put on a horror movie.
What's your horror movie of choice?
First I'm going to watch the scariest thing of all, which is Crown Jewel.
Oh, no.
I'm actually not going to watch.
Yeah, don't do that.
I've been watching the results come in on Twitter and laughing at them. So, yeah, there's no way I'm going to watch that piece of crap.
Okay, that's good.
Well, if they're all like the Lesnar fight, you'd be done in 20 minutes anyway.
Yeah, no, but that's like a four-hour program, and I'm not going to waste my time.
What are you doing a four-hour program when your matches are 2 minutes long?
Well, have that match 85 matches.
No, you have a bunch of backstage segments.
Great.
That's what it is. You have a bunch of story development that doesn't happen in the ring.
Yeah, but those don't generally happen on pay-per-views.
They usually don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how long was WrestleMania? WrestleMania was pretty...
That was a long
five
show.
Hours this year.
It was like
that was
five
a
hours.
Long show.
Yeah. And I feel like we saw like six matches.
All of the AEW... pay-per-views have been equally as long.
Yeah,
like they've all been 4 hours. It's just, it's excessively long.
Well, when you only have a few pay-per-views, you can have a 4 or 5 hour show and let the matches run 30 minutes apiece.
That's
fine. When you have one every 3 weeks, no, I don't need 4 hour pay-per-views every 3 weeks, WWE.
No, that's true.
Anyway, Joe, what you getting into, Mr. Homeowner?
I feel like I'm the only one who's going to celebrate Halloween. I'm going to go home and we're going to put on some spooky movies.
What are you watching?
So, okay, I'm actually torn. Maybe you guys can help me on this.
The Babadook.
Sarah and Rob not into horror at all. So if I put on something that's just like viscerally scary, they're not going to enjoy it. Right.
Okay.
So I have to put, if it's going to be a horror movie, it has to be something that's also like really good.
The Ring.
So Alien is a potential.
All right.
They've never seen Alien.
Rob has. Sarah has not.
Okay.
Oh, you definitely got to watch that, dude.
Alien's a good choice.
Cabin in the Woods.
All right.
I've not seen that, but I've always
Love
heard
that
really
movie.
That's
one
the,
of my favorites.
That's the Eli Roth.
Yeah, from like 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard very good things.
Very good movie.
Could always do the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I mean, I think they've seen Rocky Horror. I hope so, anyway. And then I was also thinking we could do some comedy horror, too, because there'll be more into that. We could do Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead's
always a winner. It's
mm-hmm.
a yep. popular one. And yeah, I'm actually looking forward to actually handing out candy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just part of being a homeowner.
I think I don't know. The year that I lived in a house, I turned all of my lights off.
Okay,
and
Nate
don't like
and,
people.
And
Nate
and
doesn't like people, doubly so for children. So I get it. All right.
I love the idea that Nate turns the lights off. Goes, that might not be enough. I'm going to go into the basement.
This was before the basement flooded, so
right,
it was,
right.
I was
still,
livable.
I could still hang out down there.
Yeah. Mr. Blinks in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp has said, "What about Scary Movie?"
No, those movies are awful.
They're
one's okay.
The first one's pretty okay.
What was the one with the dude with the little hand?
Two.
That was two.
I like that one.
Take my strong hand.
Yeah.
So I got
and
a
David Cross was also in that
yeah,
one
sure
too.
Was.
Okay,
the
yeah,
first
yeah.
couple
so
were okay.
So I got
okay.
a question for everybody. What is your favorite Halloween costume of all time?
That we've done ourselves?
No, just throughout your whole life. No, that you've personally worn.
Oh, that all right.
Throughout life.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Ooh. Growing up as a Power Rangers fan, I went as a Power Ranger very, very often. There was 1 year, though, that I had made my own Gambit costume, right?
Ooh, that's good.
And my mom even bought me, like, some really good gloves, but she wouldn't let me cut the fingers off.
And scandalous.
And I'm like, well, I'm not Gambit then. You ruined the costume.
His literal... The thing he does doesn't work if he has gloves
exactly.
on.
Yeah. I'm so upset.
What did you do for the head thing that he wore?
The cowl? It wasn't great. Basically, just got like
a balaclava,
and then you just cut it
and
out.
And then just cut it. I did the same damn thing.
Problem is like right here, like how it sticks to him. If you don't like tape it or something, just kind of like falls down.
Yeah.
I never figured out that mystery of how to do that correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, what about you?
I did about 4 or 5 years. No, it would have been more like 6 years ago. I did a Riddler cosplay that I was really, really happy
with.
Yeah,
you brought that to Yomicon.
I did that.
That's right.
That was very good. That was very good.
I like that one. God. Well, I like cosplays that I can really take advantage of. Like the Sith that I'm doing right now. Like, it's good when you have like a tall, imposing Sith. So it works out well.
Yeah.
Norris, how about you?
I was Batman 1 year.
Yeah.
But it's also attached to painful memory, of which I was told Batman is not black.
Oh.
And then I'm not even joking. I like ran off of a porch and like flying kicked that guy. Like I was like 9. I got in trouble for this. But I was like 9.
What, was it
like,
an adult or like another kid?
It was another kid. So he's like, Batman's not black.
Oh,
so
I straight up ran
off of the porch, cape and all. I just and kicked him, and he fell over and landed in some mud. And I straight up was like, you're lucky I don't have the Batmobile with me, and ran off.
You're going to mow him down, too?
It was great. It was the best Halloween memory I ever had.
Kid.
I did a fun one in college with my roommate. We did Hunter S. Thompson and his lawyer.
I remember this.
From Fear and Loathing?
Yeah, from Fear and Loathing.
Oh, that's really good. That's awesome.
I shaved my beard. I just had the mustache.
Nice.
We really looked the part, and... I ended up getting into a fight that year.
Oh,
we went
Nate in a fight.
It actually happens a little bit more than you would think.
Actually, you know what? Nate, I would vote besides myself is most likely to fight.
Yeah, I'm least likely.
Yeah.
Well, here's what happens is that like whenever I go to a party and I'm like. Coming in halfway, right? People are already drunk. And there's that one guy who's like too drunk.
Way too drunk.
And it's like 9:30.
That dude 9 times out of 10 f***s with me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I don't take shit from anyone. So then
I don't take, as he says this with the big boss uniform on, I don't take no shit.
It's true. Usually a fight will start.
Yeah, I feel you.
Okay, then.
I feel you. So, okay, we got half the cast whose Halloween memories involve fights. So, wonderful holiday.
Hey, right. Well, that's when you celebrate it in your 20s.
Yeah.
True that.
It's different than when you're a kid. That. Norris was from when he was a kid.
Yeah, as an adult, I can't recall doing much, like, many Halloween parties, mostly because, for some reason, around this time of year, I'm always broke.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd love to do
more costumes. I go to parties and stuff, but, like, first of all, I ain't spending $60 on shitty Halloween USA costumes.
No.
Yeah.
But I also don't have the money to really do a costume well.
Right, because all your games release in October, September, November.
That, I mean, you know what?
Maybe that's that might, it. Yeah. That might be right.
You have a huge game release window.
Yeah, you might be right.
I remember one time when I went to a Halloween party in college. I wore a bunch of my old punk gear, right? And I remember watching my friend Johnny at the time win at playing beer pong. Mm-hmm. And then he threw his hands in the air and broke a light fixture.
Ooh.
And started bleeding everywhere.
Oh, no.
And the blood is still in those clothes. Yeah.
Oof. All right. Well, happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. What's your favorite costume that you've ever been? I guess. Connect with us. That's right. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up on Checkpoint XP Daily, the PlayStation 4 is officially the second best-selling console ever. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to do our BlizzCon World Cup preview. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
BlizzCon is coming up this weekend, which means that it's the Overwatch World Cup. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the heartbeat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, as well as 1250 ESPN San Antonio in the Zone 1150. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the B-Pod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. It's BlizzCon, and that means that it's the Overwatch World Cup, so I'm going to turn things over to Robbie and Norris to tell you about some of the action that's already gotten underway and what to expect over the weekend.
Well, the first big thing to note is that this year they've changed up the way that we've been going about it. Normally, after the season ends in the Overwatch League, we'd start to see the preliminaries, and then each of the rounds kind of play out that eventually lead up to the World Cup in the top, the top eight at BlizzCon proper. This year, it's all going down at BlizzCon, and any team that can get themselves to BlizzCon can participate.
So, and also, in terms of watching this and consuming this, this is playing out across, what, like four different channels?
The Overwatch League stream, the Play Overwatch stream, the Contender stream, and actually it might be five because there's a OWWC1 and OWWC2 channel.
Wow.
I kind of like that, though. I like the idea of I don't have to like sit through waiting for every match. Just, find the match you want to see, put it on.
Well, I mean, and with 47 teams in the in the cup, you kind of have to do that.
No one wants to sit through Hungary versus Uruguay. That's
I don't know.
I will say though that one of the things that this does kind of it was kind of lame to me is that in the way that they did it before, you kind of knew who to watch out for, and some stories started to emerge as you've seen one team sweeping through certain stages, right? And now with it all going down, you're not necessarily really sure what to expect sometimes. And take a team like Iceland, who when I tuned into Iceland and Ireland's match, that was a really close, really great match. And even though it went 3-0, like they were neck and neck.
The 3-0 doesn't tell the whole story.
Correct. So you're like, maybe Iceland has a chance here. And then they went up against the UK, I think it was.
Yep.
They did not have a chance.
No, they didn't. No. Here's the thing about it, though, is that hopefully when we get to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that the only thing we'll be watching is the best of the best, right? And that's sort of the issue that was plaguing the preliminaries is, yes, you had those sort of narratives being woven over time, which is cool and all, but it became such a rigorous thing to follow and try to keep up with because it was so fragmented. By having it sort of condensed into this, 4 or 5 day thing, you really do say, all right, Iceland, I see they're popping off. Let me follow them through the preliminaries. Or France plays on Saturday. I'm going to start watching when France starts playing or whatever. I find it to be much easier to follow that way. And it's more in line with a World Cup from a traditional than it is from many, you know, from other esports.
Well, and I mean, look at when we watch, you know, League of Legends, where you go through, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks of the play-in stages. You get to know a lot of the teams, a lot of the players that are there, and you get to thinking that they're real good. And then you get to the main stage and they all get blown out.
Yeah.
They play against, you know, the best teams in the world and just get destroyed.
And that's something you're still seeing is obviously the teams that are comprised entirely of OWL talent are still blowing out these teams that maybe only have one OWL player on or a few contenders players on it.
So matches started today.
That's right.
And a handful of them have already gone down. What have you guys seen already that has impressed you?
So what we got now is about five brackets, brackets A through E, that are going down currently. And the winner of those brackets will then be seeded in the tournament proper. So, Joe, for you, this would be considered, quote unquote, play-ins.
Yeah.
For that main bracket that'll take place over the weekend.
Sure.
Out of bracket A, what we currently have, that's already over and done with, and the winners of that bracket were Denmark. Now, Denmark is a team that is a mixture of contenders and local talent and OWL talent. I believe Kellex is one of the members of that team.
Actually, as of right now, Denmark and Australia are still live.
Oh, they're still playing.
Denmark is in the lead right now. And honestly, with them having both Kellex and Shax, I believe it is, I fully expect them to pull out ahead of Australia.
Yes, thank you for that correction.
So out of all the games that you've watched so far, what's been the most impressive matchup?
Honestly, it was Iceland and Ireland, which makes me like really upset that they got handed an L so easily by the UK, I think it was. Because, you know, I was seeing some great play out of FlexG from Ireland, who, again, even though they lost, his Pharah play. Seeing them switch to Pharah and the Pharmacy, and they had someone else rotating throughout the other DPS character. But to see them breaking up the usual meta of the double shields with the Doomfist and the Reaper was great. And it forced Iceland to also bring out their Pharmacy as well to try and match with them. And it worked out in the middle for them, maybe not in the end. But, you know, I think what's most exciting for me watching through this, and Norris, you brought this up before on past shows across all of our stuff, is it's great to see what talent starts to shine here that you might see a future for in the Overwatch.
I was just about to mention that this is a perfect stage to get scouted by some of the teams that are looking to, you know, fill out their roster, because, of course, you know, roster madness.
That's right.
And, you know, we've seen in years past that this can be a big moment for breakout talent. I'm trying to remember he was a Canadian player.
Well, you had Fusions from the UK.
Fusions, that's what it was. Because he looked like he was 12. Yeah. That's what was so impressive about it.
You had Fusions from the UK. You also had Gu Shui from China.
Yep.
Both of those players, tank players, and they had pretty much lights out World Cups.
And Fusions had a really good season this year, didn't he?
He had season on a bad team.
Oh, yeah.
Gu Shui probably had a better season out of the two,
for sure,
because at least he made the playoffs. But this is still a rubric to see what teams and, you know, what talent is going to emerge and possibly end up in the Overwatch League. There are still a lot of heavy hitters that have not qualified for the main bracket quite yet. You still have teams like Sweden, Finland, Japan, Russia, Germany, the Netherlands. All of those teams have not yet qualified, so it's going to be a little bit before we know who makes it out, but somebody's going to get left out that you would expect that should be in the big show.
Who are you guys watching out for? Like, what are the matchups that you're looking at? What are the teams that you're looking out for? Who are you watching throughout the World Cup?
Well, here's the problem. When it all comes down to it, someone's eventually going to have to play against South Korea.
The great equalizer. All have to play South Korea.
You're just assuming that South Korea is going to take it?
I mean, they've taken just about every other one almost all the way to the brink. Obviously, you know, I always have hope for Team USA, you know, who has half of the San Francisco Shock on their roster this time around. And a good, honestly, a good chunk from the Houston Outlaws as well. So, I mean, when it really comes down to it, yeah, I'd put it either on South Korea. It was both Canada and the UK had great showings last year as well. Yeah. But unfortunately, I don't know that anyone from the preliminaries are really going to make that big of a splash against the heavy hitters that normally take the wins.
I slightly disagree. I think if you see a team like Finland pop off and come out of the play-in stages or those preliminaries, I think they may be able to make some noise. They have a roster that sort of mixed, but it's filled with some talent. You're going to see the UK. They had to come through the preliminaries. I think they'll still be able to make noise. But I still think, yes, South Korea may be the favorite, but watch out for a team like Canada, which is front to back filled with talent, a lot of OWL players in that team, and also I think a team that is very much so improved from the last time that we've seen them.
Any countries or regions you're surprised to see in here? Because I got to be honest, I'm surprised to see Saudi Arabia fielding a team.
Yeah, I am. Also, there were a number of teams that didn't make it out to
that just couldn't that just, they couldn't secure travel.
Yeah. I mean travel. Iceland, I had heard during the broadcast, they actually had crowdfunded their tickets to be able to fly out and participate. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So there are some teams. I'm surprised to see a team like Ireland, which made me feel happy that they were able to at least look competitive. Mm-hmm. But you have Colombia right now that has already beaten the Philippines, and they're going to have to go against Sweden. So there are some teams that are making a little bit of noise for themselves.
Oh, there you go. Who are you watching out for at BlizzCon's World Cup? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, the PS4 has become the second best-selling console ever, which is amazing. Stick around. We're going to talk about that next, ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The PlayStation 4 is officially the second best-selling console of all time. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, and The Other Identity. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie design that's available for a limited time this fall in holiday season. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. I cannot believe that the PlayStation 4 is the second best-selling console of all time. Woo. I know it's a good console. I own one myself. But you would think between the price point and how prolific a lot of other pieces of hardware have been, you know, the Wii was in old folks' homes. Yep. You saw people who are not normally gamers picking up consoles like the Wii and the Wii U.
No, it's only edged out the Wii and the PlayStation by a little over 1-ish million. So it's still very close where they're sitting right now.
And we're gonna kind of go into the why here, but I do want to give you guys the numbers. First of all, this year they reported they're now up to 102.8 million units sold.
Wow.
Which it does officially top the PlayStation 1, which had the old number 2 slot on here, which at 102.5 million. So it's now topped that out. Here's the problem. If it wants to take the number 1 slot on here, which belongs to the PlayStation 2, They're going to need to go ahead and move about 52.2 million more units.
So they're going to have to
So it won't happen.
Yeah, another half of what they've already done in a year.
And for that to happen, the PlayStation 4 would have to find a second life.
Yes.
You know, like a lot of internet cafes, especially in Japan, were stocking full of PlayStation 2s and, you know, continuing to buy new ones because they were so popular.
Well, and the rough sale, the rough like acceptance of the PS3 also spurred a second life for the PlayStation 2.
That is
a lot of
true.
People just stuck with their PS2 because they were like, I don't have $600 to spend on a PS3. But
it's a very good point.
I kind of wanted to talk about this because it does strike me as incredible. Nate, you were alluding to the fact like things like the Wii was pervasive in old folks' homes. People of all ages bought in on the Wii. How does the PlayStation 4 on the back of the PlayStation 3 possibly
sell
this many units?
I'm going to tell you why. Because it had one of the most fervent launches, I think, than any other console of this gen.
It had a good launch. I mean, it's compounded by the fact that the Xbox One had a miserable launch.
See, and that's what say, you that's have what to I give mean. Some credit to Microsoft and the abomination that was the Xbox One. Because remember, I think it was when the Xbox One S was announced or came out or pre-orders, Japan didn't even bother stocking
it. Not even that. The biggest sort of misstep at the onset was the fact that it was bundled with the Kinect mandatory. You had to get the Kinect.
Oh, I forgot.
It was
about
always
that.
Connected to the internet mandatory.
It had more features that were in there for entertainment like TV and movies than it did for actual gaming.
Which again, at that point of console development was no longer a selling point. That was what put the PS2 over the top because it was also a DVD player.
Well, and I think that's what helped, you know, the Xbox 360 at one point in its life cycle. You know, I ended up buying an Xbox 360 because at the time it was the only console that you could get that had the Netflix app.
Yes. And so those types of things were moving consoles. It wasn't so much moving consoles anymore because you had so many other devices that were taking care of your entertainment at this point. And so you had all of those factors and it was $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
I think when I look at it, one of the things that really helped the PlayStation 4 is that as popular as the Xbox 360 was versus the PlayStation 3, I don't think anyone would ever argue that the Xbox 360 was the clear winner of that particular generation of gaming.
I don't know that you could really...
They were pretty close. I mean, when you look at
what I'm
sold
saying.
Between the two of them,
the
PlayStation 3
surged late.
But that's what I'm getting at, is that while for a long time Xbox 360 had the lead, but PS3 started to really close it late. People started really getting into Sony right around the time that transition to PS4 happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gave them a real leg up.
And a big reason for that was the killer apps and the killer games really started coming out for PS3 at the end of its life cycle. And Blu-ray clearly was the winner of that format at the time.
Right.
Blu-ray disc became the sort of lingua franca of disc formats at the time, and that was a Blu-ray formatted platform.
But to your point, Norris, that it was not even close between the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
Not at all.
The Xbox 360 and the
million difference right now.
The Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, when I was looking to lay down the money for it, I was conflicted. I legitimately did not know which one I was going to get. And it was one feature that was available. And I mean, you know, it was probably put on PlayStation not that long after. But it was one feature that ended up edging it out for me. And I don't think that it's been anywhere close between Microsoft and Sony since.
So that would be my question to you. Like, we've seen, and we saw when PS3 transitioned to PS4, how quickly the tides can change, how quickly that the kind of winds can shift in the other direction. Over a span of, 2 years, it shifted from Xbox to Sony just owning everything?
Yeah.
So why do we not believe that the same thing could happen again?
I'm going to tell you why, because I think what Sony has done is they've realized that they're not going to be able to take the handheld market. And at this point, Nintendo has said the Switch is the new console and the new handheld, so you're not going to be able to beat them on that front. And part of what was going on with Sony is that they were bifurcating their gamer base by trying to put so much development money into their mobile games division. Now that that's not happening and they're fully focused on consoles, I think that the ball is in their court. I don't think they can drop the ball at this
point. And in that generation, Joe, we're not talking about like a complete reversal. It's not like the Xbox 360 was leagues ahead of the PlayStation the whole way. The way that it ended, there's a 3 million difference. Between the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, 60 million different.
Yeah, I think, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think that even down, right down to the E3 presentations between the two consoles, Sony always had the edge. And I feel like they're carrying that edge into the next generation. And it really makes me wonder, like, what is this next generation of consoles going
to
look like?
And according to the reports that we had back then, the PlayStation 4 was a much easier console to develop for at the time, and from what we're hearing, the dev kits out for the PlayStation 5 are also saying that people are having an easy time developing for it.
Yeah. Last question real quick then, because we've seen some thoughts on what the PS5 might look like. If it looks like that V shape, does it still sell as well? Because that thing is hideous.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters how it performs.
Yeah, I think at this point, people are kind of beyond the whole "it needs to look pretty on my shelf" thing.
Yeah, my Switch looks hideous on my shelf. Yeah. It looks horrible.
Yeah,
it's the most hideous electronic that I own.
Yeah,
but I still put it there.
That's fair.
All right, listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think of the PlayStation 4 moving so many units? Did you buy one? Why or why not? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.